Right. James chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We have all these good intentions. Sometimes we even get caught up in the moment. We see the electrical appliances, we see the treadmill, the exercise equipment. We want to buy it and we go and buy it and we have all these plans. I'm going to buy this weightlifting equipment. I'm going to buy this treadmill. I'm going to train on it 1 hour a day. You know, I bought this electrical, you know, appliances, this blender, and I'm going to make vegetable smoothies and all this kind of thing. But it ends up sitting in the shelf somewhere and we don't use them. The intentions are good, but nothing happens. And this is what James is saying as well. James is saying, be doers of the word. That's what I'm going to speak on, you know, speak upon this morning, is that we have to apply the word of God. You know, it's good to have good intentions when you hear the word. It's good to have that, you know, yes, God, yes, God. You know, we come up to the altar call, yes, God, yes, God. Listen to some great preaching, you know, T.D. Jakes and all these guys, yes, God, yes, God. That's all good intention, but when it comes down to it, sometimes we just don't do it. And that's what James is saying. You know, he's saying, you know, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You might tell me, Pastor, another hard message. Well, I hope it's not hard, but, you know, I just want to encourage you. Amen? I just want to encourage all of us, because I've been there many times, and I can tell you something, like I've just told you. You know, so that's what James is saying. He's saying, you know, it's good to have good intentions, but unless we do it, we only deceive ourselves. And that's what I'm speaking about today, is that, you know, it's important in our Christian walk we hear and we do. You know, sometimes we say, no, you got to do, you got to do, you got to do, but we don't hear properly. Jesus said, you know, I think it's in Matthew 15 where he says, you know, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words. He that heareth. And so hearing is also important. Even though I'm going to talk about application, hearing is just as important. And how you hear is very important. And so, but the issue is I want to speak about today's application. And you know, the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring change, is wanting to bring transformation and blessing into our lives. But with all these good intentions, he has no material to work with. He doesn't, you know, he can't do much with us with all these intentions. But we haven't yet done what we're supposed to be doing. And so I just want to go through these verses, verse 22 to verse 25, and just bring some truths out to us. There's some powerful truths in this. Because some people say, Pastor, I can't do it. Pastor, I can't, you know, I can't come to church every week because I'm so busy. Or you know, I'm working all the time. Or I can't give tithes, so I can't bless anyone because I don't have enough because of this and that. You know, we understand that. But I want to bring something to us that I believe will sort of help us to understand that it's not that hard to actually implement, do, and apply the Word of God. You see, this particular verse, it says, be ye doers of the word. The word doers comes from the Greek word P-O-I-E-T-S, poietes, if I can pronounce it right, poietes. And that word really comes from a class of words, and that word means poet. You know what's a poet, right? Did I pronounce it right? Poet. Poet is someone who writes poetry. He's a creative person, in other words. He likes writing these creative things. And that's what he says. Be poets of the word, not hearers only. Be poets of the word. Be creative people of the word and not hearers only. But let me bring further understanding to that, because if we can jump, hold your place, okay? Because we'll come back to that. So I want us to sort of do a little bit of Bible study. You know, put your finger on that, or put your thumb on that, or something on that, and then we'll come back to that. That's if James chapter 1, and let's jump quickly to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. There's a very interesting verse there in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. This is one of my favorite verses, but I find how amazing God connects these verses. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, Junior's got it up. Okay. It says, for we are His, what's that word? Come on, everybody. What's the word? Workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in other words, before we were created, God prepared the good works to walk in them. Isn't that amazing? Before you and I were created, God prepared the pathway of good works for us to walk in them. Wow. Now, I want you to notice that word where it says, for we are His workmanship. The word workmanship comes from a similar word as poet, but it comes from the word Greek word poema. P-O-I-E-M-A, poema. It comes from the same class of words. Now, if you look at some other versions, the New Living Translation says God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. In other words, we are God's poem. We are God's workmanship. God created us like a masterpiece, like a poem. All right? Now, He created us, He says, in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. Now, this is the amazing thing, is that God is the great poet, and He writes out our lives like a poem, and He creates us. So, in other words, there's a picture here that God used all the force of His creative genius, you might use the word. His creative genius, His brilliant power, and you might even say His greatest wisdom, to bring all the force of it into a creation called you. He created you specially for a purpose of walking in this pathway of good works. Let me just take you back to Psalms 139. If we could just jump quickly to Psalms 139, and then we will come back. Sorry, it seems like I'm going back and forth, but you know, I'm sort of getting to a point here. In Psalms 139 and in verse 14, Psalms 139, verse 14. All right. And it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, there's a version that says, you can translate that, I am carefully and wonderfully made. I am carefully and wonderfully made. Then he says, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Wow, Jeremiah 1:5, isn't it? Karen, before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me. That's what it says. He says, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed. In your book, they were all written. The days were fashioned for me. As yet there were none of them. Wow. Even before we were fashioned, God actually had a plan for us, and He knew us, and He made us. And the Bible says we were carefully and wonderfully made. In other words, there's the plan of God, and God put us together for that plan. So God did not just make us physically make you, you know, put your hair in place, put your eyes in place and everything. He created you, spirit, soul, and body, specifically for that plan. Creatively making you just to fulfill the plan of God. That's why it says you are a masterpiece. Every bit of you were created to walk this journey of life. Amen. You know, God didn't just, you know, pop you out of the sky and call you an accident. I mean, I was called useless many times. I was called an accident. But I can tell you, I'm no accident. You are not an accident. You are not useless. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not useless. Tell them, I'm not useless. Amen. Now you tell them, I'm a masterpiece. Tell them, I'm a masterpiece. Why? Because God made you into this person, and He designed you with His own hands, and He made you, and He put every piece of you in place, because He knew in 2020, you'll be doing this, and you need this. So He put exactly what you needed to accomplish that plan in 2020. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Amen. If you're not excited, man, I am excited. I am excited about this. Amen. Now, when you go back to James chapter 1, very quickly, James chapter 1, you find something amazing here, is that God is the poet, and he has made you as a poet, as a poem, as a masterpiece, and now he calls you poet in James 1:22. You are a poet now. Why? Because he's put in you these creative abilities, this brilliant wisdom, and all the things of God. He's poured it out into you to fulfill that plan. Then he says, apply the word. Oh, you get what I'm saying? Because God used all his creative ability to make you, to fulfill the plan, so that you can never say, I can't do it. Because inside you, there is this creative ability, this poet inside you that has the ability to write poems, to fulfill the plan of God. So if somebody tells me, Pastor, I can't do it because I'm too poor, something is wrong. Amen. Pastor, I can't do it because I'm too busy on Sundays, something is wrong. There has to be a creative ability inside you to fulfill whatever you need to do. Pastor, I can't do it because the vision is too large. Something is wrong. You and I are not connecting to what God has created us to do. Pastor, you know, I'm so afraid. Something is wrong. You understand what I'm trying to say? Pastor, you know, I'm not a giver because it's so hard for me. I don't have enough money at the end of the week. No. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Because inside us is this ability God has poured into us and made us a poet. You understand? God is this master poet, and he created you out of nothing. Out of impossibility, he made you and me. That's impossible. Did you know you are an impossible creation? He made you and me when there shouldn't have been you and me. He made us out of his creative ability. Now, he pours that creative ability into us, but on a lesser scale, of course. Only one person can be God. But he made us into a person with ability to do things. So when he says, be doers of the word, he doesn't leave us with nothing. Inside us, there is this ability to accomplish the word. Be doers of the word of God. Don't know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Christ who gives me wisdom. Christ who helps me. And I can do it. Amen. Oh, Pastor, it's so hard, you know. I can't even say sorry. You know, Pastor, it's hard for me to forgive. Well, you have to find creative ways to forgive. Amen? Pastor, it's too hard for me to do this. You have to find creative ways because you have that creative ability to break through anything in life. Anything in life. You have the creative ability to do it. Amen. Man, when I knew God, I said, no, you know, I'm not going to be poor all my life. I'm not going to be, you know, begging people so that I can do God's work. No, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. I'm a poet, amen. I write poetry. Did you know that? Some of you laughing. But I like, you know, I write poetry. When things look impossible, I look to God, and God gives me this creative ability to break through anything in front of me. Anything. That's not a boast on my strength. It's a boast on God's ability. Amen? He gave me wisdom, and he continues to bless me and guide me in that area. And it's the same with any one of you. The reason why you don't do the things God called you to do is because you put a blockage in your mind and in your heart. I can't do it. I don't have enough. I don't have this. No. You know? I mean, if God can call something out of nothing, he's given you the ability to break through. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor, I don't have a car. You know, Pastor, I can't preach the gospel. You know, I can't speak properly. Come on, guys. I used to stutter. I mean, I told you that once, right? I stuttered really bad. My family made fun of me. You know, I used to say, you know, can you please give me the sugar? And my dad and him used to say, I struggle with stuttering. I can't believe I'm preaching, but I can believe now. Amen. If you say you cannot do it, something is wrong. You are disconnecting yourself from God's ability. Amen. Wow, Pastor, you're very hard on us. But I hope you wake up, you know, into the person you were carefully and wonderfully created. You're carefully and wonderfully made. You can do anything God called you to do. If God says it in His word, you can do it. If God tells you by His voice, you can do it. Amen. Even Peter said, Jesus, tell me, come, I'll come. What? It's water, Peter. Come. And he started doing the ballet, you know? No, he started walking. I can tell you something. In spite of the impossibility, when God said it, he believed it. Inside of each one of us is this, you know, are the things God has designed to last for the rest of your life and beyond. For the next 10 years, God has created the next 10 years worth of supply inside you. Everything you need is right there. Amen. Hallelujah. So be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, if you're just a hearer, but you don't do, that means we're deceiving ourselves short, selling ourselves short of the gifts and abilities God has given us. Amen. Man, there's a lot of business people here, but you don't know it. Amen. A lot of preachers here, but you don't know it. A lot of people who can do greater things, but you don't know it, or else if you heard God tell you, you've been holding off because you've been scared. And I can tell you something. Trust God and go. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a poet. Amen. I'm a poet. Wow. What do you do, brother? I write poetry. Yes. Maybe not physical poetry, but you can do anything that's creative. Amen. I had no idea I could design websites, but do you know that I can do it? I mean, not to boast, but I can do it. I never knew HTML coding and everything, but I found out. I learned YouTube, Google search. Amen. You don't know what you can do unless you believe God and step out and do it. You can do all things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And then in the next verse, let's just go quickly. And then in the next verse, he says, so if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Wow. Some people have one mirror. You know, that's a very satisfied, content kind of people. They have only one mirror. You know, some people have two mirrors, you know, body length. You know, pull in the stomach kind of mirror. As soon as they walk away from the mirror, they let the stomachs out, you know. Some people have one mirror, you know, but they're looking really intently. You know, the hair is in place. Eyebrows. They look up the nose. Don't tell me you don't do it. You know, and they check everything out, and it looks okay. Some people have three mirrors, you know, check the back. I don't know, I bluff. I do sometimes, sorry. Some people have four mirrors. That's the car one, right? You looked at yourself so much, yet when you walk to your... I mean, it's a short distance to your car, but by the time you reach the car, you forget what you look like. So you got to check yourself out again in the car. Why? Because we're forgetful. But the Bible says, no, if you don't want to forget the word of God, you apply it. And the dangerous thing is this, is that it's gone from a downward spiral. You know, he's just a hearer, but he does not apply it. But now the next downward spiral, he becomes a forgetful hearer. That's what he says in the next verse 25, being a forgetful hearer. He's not just a person who hears and doesn't do, but now he becomes a forgetful hearer. There's a downward trend. And the danger is this, when we take application, when we take doing out of the process, what we do is we actually begin to forget what we heard. Did you know that? As soon as we stop doing something, we start to forget. That's why pilots have to go through simulation. They have to go through practical, things. You know, they have to take the plane up. They can't just sit in the classroom and just learn theory for the 3 years course. They have to go up in the plane. They have to go through simulators to constantly go through different situations constantly until it becomes second nature. Otherwise, you will tend to forget. So that's what the Bible is saying. He said, unless we do, we become a forgetful hearer. That is why some people, if you ask them the scriptures, they have no memory of memory verses. Because we've become forgetful. But when we apply the Word of God, memory verses, the Word of God becomes a thing that we remember in our spirit and in our minds. Amen. Finally, the law of liberty. In verse 25, it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer. Remember what I said, forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he's doing. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty. When it mentions the word law, in my mind I'm thinking, maybe law, isn't it something of bondage? How can you say it's a law of liberty when you follow the law? It's actually putting yourself under bondage. But then you realize something, is that when you follow the Word of God and apply the Word of God, in the beginning it becomes a bondage, but later on something takes place. In the beginning it seems like something hard, something legalistic or bondage or something, but as you begin to walk in it, you find liberty begins to happen. For example, many years ago, I remember giving a talk to the youth, and I spoke to the youth, and I said, in no uncertain terms, as the pastor of Living Way Church, you know, you got to listen to me, you young guys. And they all listened, eyeballs. I said, no dating. You know, it's like their jaws just fell, or something happened, or they almost collapsed or something. I said, no dating. Same time, they must have thought, for the rest of our life, pastor. You know, I could almost read their minds. I could almost read it coming out of their brain, you know. I said, well, then I answered the question for them. I said, well, you know, I would think that it's okay to date from the second year of university. We were sitting at the back. I think she was feeling nervous. I said, no dating. You know why? Because when you are dating when you're in high school, or you're dating when you're in university, you end up getting emotionally involved to the point where when there's a breakup, it's like a divorce. And you end up with all these thoughts about, you know, suicide and everything, because you feel like something is broken in your relationship. And that's true. So I was telling the youth, I said, no, don't date. Focus on your studies. Get your studies in order. Build your spiritual life, focus on the Lord in your studies, and then do well in school so that you can, you know, get a good job. But I was kind of merciful. So I said, okay, by the second year of university, you can start dating, you know. When we went home that day, Bui sat Junior down. Junior, sit down. I was thinking, oh, something is going to happen now. She said, you know what Dad said? Second year of the university. He said, yes, you know. He must have been feeling, yes, freedom, you know, freedom. Second year. She said, don't listen to what Dad said. She said, even though Dad said dating second year, don't you dare date until you finish university, get a job, get some money, then you can date. Is that clear, Junior? Yes, Mom. You know, for Junior, it will seem like the law of bondage. When he sees all his fellow classmates, you know, doing those units in uni, going off with his nice looking girl, you know, where he sees all the beautiful girls taken up by all the ugly guys, you know, he must be broken hearted. He must say, I'm more handsome than them, but, you know, bondage, 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 mom in bondage, you know. But I can tell you this, that law that seems a bondage to him. He was sharing with me, he said, you know, some of my friends dead, some of them broke up, and they started getting, you know, mentally unstable. Some of them got admitted to the mental ward in his school. Some of his schoolmates became pregnant, couldn't finish their uni. He will look back one day and he will come and thank his mom and he will say, Mom, thank you very much for not listening to Dad. When he gets a good job and he's flying high with a nice girl, whether she's beautiful or not, I don't care, she must love the Lord. You know, with a beautiful girl beside him and they're dating and everything else, you know something, he'll actually tell his mom, Mom, thank you so much. Then I'll tell him, Junior, can you shout your dad to McDonald's? No. Sometimes following the word of God can feel like a law. It can feel like a bondage. Why? Because, you know, you want to get out there, you want to enjoy yourself, you want to have freedom, but at what cost? Because God knows what we need. We don't really know. That's why we need the word of God to be applied. Sometimes we say, I know it all. No, you don't. We need to apply the word of God. One day in the future, that law of bondage that he thought was bondage will become the law of liberty. That's why the Bible says, he who looks into the law of liberty and continues therein, that man will be blessed in his deed. One day, Junior will be blessed. One day, all you young people who listened to your parents will be blessed. Sometimes your parents talk to you, you know, you'll just have this pitch in your mind. Yap, 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 yap. You know, yap, yap, yap. Let me tell you, listen to your parents. One day you'll thank them. It'll become the law of liberty for you. Application of the word of God is going to transform your life.